I want to say welcome everybody to this session on being real, building real community or common unity. I am Byron Martin. I am the Director of Multicultural Enrichment here at Abilene Christian University. This session is going to be a fun and interactive and interesting session. First of all, how many people in here are in here because they need some form of credit, or you're here for a class or something like that, or you're one of my scholars? Okay, great. Awesome. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Go ahead and put your notes away and everything. And if you email me, I will email you the presentation back at the end of tomorrow's session. Okay? So you'll have my entire presentation. You'll have that at the end of tomorrow's session. All you have to do is just email me, and I'll email it back to you. That sound good? Okay, great. I took that from my friend Josh Jackson. He did that yesterday, and he cannot be cooler than me. And so I had to tell him that I'm cooler than he is. And so as he goes back to Atlanta, I'll give him a call later tonight and say everybody appreciated me more, and more people showed up to my lecture than yours. Nothing like friendly competition, right? Yeah, we're being very real. So here's what you can expect. So in this session, here's what you can expect, or here's what you cannot expect. Here's what we will not be talking about in this session. So we will not talk about how to bring people to the church. I don't necessarily believe in that. If you do, that's good for you. That's not what we're going to talk about here today. So don't think that you're going to get some great evangelistic tip from today's or in tomorrow's session. That's not what's going to happen. Okay? The Bible says go, and so I believe that we should go and make disciples versus bring them into us, for us to shape them like that, and we'll get into that a little bit later. We will not talk about the unchurched or the non-Christians or the church across town. We're going to talk about ourselves, and we're going to talk about you and your community and your church. So we're going to talk about that. So we're not going to talk about the unchurched and what we need to do to reach the unchurched, because I believe that we will cover all of that in this, so we don't need to talk about people that's not ourselves. We need to talk about what we need to do better. I have a special seat for Dr. Stephen Moore, if you would like it. We will also not come to the right answer. So we will not come to this grand conclusion that equals the right answer in this class about building community, about doing anything like that. We won't come to this grand finale answer. There is no magic bullet. There's only smoking guns. Okay? So you won't get this magic pill that you can take back to your home congregation and say, hey, this guy next to you said you could do this, and it's going to build community, and it's going to be great. That's not what you're going to get in this session. So if you're expecting that, you have the right to leave right now. I won't be offended. But we are going to have some conversation and some discussions about what we can do to be better. So what you can expect, us to be open in this session. So this is a discussion. So at the appropriate time, you're going to have to discuss some things and really jump into the material as we communicate back and forth. This is a participatory session. So you will not be getting to sit in your seat the entire time and just take notes and stuff. That's why I told students, go ahead and put your notes away. Even my scholars know that I don't really play that me, I up talk and you don't have to do anything. That's not a great way to learn. So you will be participating. You will be getting out of your comfort zone, so get ready for that. You can expect for this session to be real, okay? When people say real, a lot of times, you know, young people, oh, we're going to keep it real, you know, we're going to keep it 100. We're going to be on that level. We're going to be honest, okay? So somebody in this room is probably going to challenge your ideas. They're going to challenge the way you think about something. Probably even some of the ways you think about the Bible and interpretations of the Bible. That's okay. Different points of view give us a different version, different ways to look at what God has put us here for. And so we're going to be challenged. So that's good. That's real. Okay. It's going to pull you outside of your comfort zone, like I said. So be ready for that. Okay. The last thing is that my hope is that you leave this session, these two sessions today and tomorrow, same time, with more questions. But we want those questions to be targeted at the right direction. Okay, so I want you to leave here with more questions. So some people came in with these questions of, okay, what are we supposed to do? How are we going to build community? How are we going to shape the community that's around us? That's all good, fine, great questions. But I want to kind of change our paradigm and do a little bit more introspection and reshape our questions to be more pointed at us versus pointed at the community or community that we're trying to reach. So that's kind of the expectations that you can expect from this session. I would like to tell y'all that I'm like this famous community guru and that I talk all over the world about how to bring people into a community, into greater understandings of each other, but I'm not. I'm a 26-year-old college graduate of Abilene Christian University that works at Abilene Christian University. And so a lot of these scenarios will be centered or around the context that I work in. But I think they are definitely applicable to several different contexts that you might be working in or living in. Question. What is community? Open question. What is community? Okay, I'm gonna go back to the expectations about the participation. Really, what is community? Jump in there. Go.
It's like the neighborhood you live in and the stores around you.
Okay, neighborhood you live in, stores around you. What else? What is community? Go.
People we live and interact with.
People we live and interact with.
Having different varieties of people with different skills and different personalities.
Okay.
People joining together.
People joining together.
Values shared by a group of people.
Values shared by a group of people. Okay.
Group of people that have something in common.
Group of people that have something in common. Okay, what else is community?
Schools and libraries be part of the community.
Schools, libraries, yeah. Things that go in the community. Okay. Here's what I heard a lot of times, right? So community is this buzzword. I've heard it all my life. That's actually my response. If you grew up in a church like I did, you heard community literally every Sunday, every Wednesday. It was this big buzzword, you know? It's like, oh, we're going to build community. Come be a part of this grand community. When I was recruited to ACU, it was like, there's no other community like the ACU community. Go Wildcats. And so, like, it's this huge buzzword that's used all over the place. Sometimes too much for my taste. Community is a TV show that just went off air. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I never watched the TV show Community. So people tell me I should, and then others tell me, Byron, that's why it went off the air. What else? The people that are not in the church. So sometimes you hear church folks talking about the community as in everybody else that's not in the church with them. Everybody that doesn't go to that church. We're going to go and affect lives in the community. So everybody that's not in church sometimes gets taglined, oh, they're in the community. All right. And that's always an interesting concept for me when I'm working with churches. The people that we talk about helping because they cannot help themselves. So we're going to go help the community. Oh, it brings us so much joy to our hearts when we're out in, and I hear this in Abilene, when we're out in the Abilene community below the hill and we're helping change the community. Okay, that's another interesting concept to me. The last one, some people said it, the people I hang out with. So the people that are in my community are the people I hang out with. The ones I see, you know, day in and day out, that's my community. Those are all interesting concepts. Let me tell you how much of a buzzword community really is. So I don't know if y'all know this, but Google does this nice little thing on word search where basically you can look up how many times the word has been used in numbers of books over last periods of time, right? And so starting in the 1800s, and I only got to go to about 2008, right? Here's how much the word community has been used in that time frame. Looking at jumps since 1930 all the way up to 2008, we're seeing its peak in the, probably about 98, 99. And if we went on to 2000s, I think we see another peak as it grows. So the word community is used in literature and everything. It's a buzzword. It is popular. Man, we love community. We want to live together in community. But do we really know what that means? Do we really know what community is? So like any good person wanting to know a definition, I did what I was supposed to do. I went and talked to our good friend Webster, Merriam, to see what it really meant. And I came up with several definitions that I want to put out there. I'm going to tell you the truth. These are all definitions that I did not like or think really hit the idea of real community or what community actually was. And so I'll read a couple of these to you. A group of people living together in the same place, having particular characteristics in common. A group of people living together in one place, especially one practicing common ownership. A particular area or place considered together with its inhabitants. A body of nations or states unified by common interest. The people of a district or a country considered collectively, especially in the context of social values and responsibilities in society, denoting a worker or resource designed to serve the people of a particular area. This last word kind of funny. A feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. This last one is extremely funny. Joint ownership or liability. Basically, I think similar things is when we think of, oh yeah, community or people that get together based off of common goals and sometimes common ancestry, having things in common. That's community, right? Because, you know, I don't want to be in community with somebody that's not like me because we don't have anything in common, right? How does that help me? How does that work itself out for me? So I found actually one definition that I really enjoyed and I liked a lot, and I figured I would share this with you today, and hopefully we can talk about that for a little bit. The definition that I found was this. A group of interdependent organisms of different species growing or living together in a specified habitat. Y'all look at me like, Byron, that sounds like it came from a science class. Matter of fact, I just studied that in biology the other day. Well, I'm glad you said it. It is the ecological definition. Here's the interesting piece. It says a group of interdependent organisms of different species growing and living together in a specified habitat. I started to think about that definition, and as I dwelt on that definition, it started to make more sense in terms of community than the other ones did. Not saying that everybody in this room is a different species, but some days I do wonder. Sometimes our attitudes put us in different species of people, but we're all different, right? So we're all different. We all come from different walks of life. We all have different mentalities, different points of view. And so in some days of the week, I feel like we're probably all more different than we are all the same. Now, I do understand we have the same organs in our body. If I cut you, you're going to bleed red, but I get that. But we're really all different. we were really all created different. But this one says that that's not bad. It says that a group of interdependent organisms of different species growing and living together in a specified habitat. So a group of things, people, that are very different, that live together, but they're interdependent. So basically, they need one another. They need to be around one another. Another entity does something that this entity over here needs, and when you put those two things together, they live, or they live better, or they have a better life experience. It says living together in a specified habitat. Let me think about this. God made us all different. Says that, hey, I need y'all to figure out how to live and work and be together in a specified habitat known as Earth. I like that definition. What do y'all think? Is it all right? Here's the other piece. Lack of community equals death. So in terms of organisms, in terms of bioorganisms, if they don't live in community, if they can't live in harmony, if they can't work together inside of this strange little equation known as a life circle, they will die. Right? They won't have the same lifespan, life expectancy as other things. There is something that you have because you were created differently that I need. So this is the concept of community. Okay? There's something that you have that I need to survive. There's something that I have that you need to survive. Now, I know you're thinking, Byron, I don't need you. What? I don't need you. That may be the case. You may not need me. Some of my scholars are like, yes, I'm glad you figured that out. But the truth of the matter is that God put us here to interact with each other because literally there is something that we need that exists inside each and every one of us that the other person or individual needs as well. Right? And it's an understanding of who God is. See, it's easy to think that community is for me. Like, I need to be in community. Like, man, I need this for me. But the truth of the matter is that the idea of community, God is less concerned about the individual and more concerned about the collective. Ergo, God says, I want you to see me. And sometimes the only way that you get to see me is by seeing the God that exists in every single individual. That's how you get a true picture of who I am. If you think that everybody that thinks and talks and exists your way is going to give you a true picture of God, you are sadly mistaken. And so there is something that you have because you were created like you were. God created you that way that I need to survive and exist. So what is really the difference in all of these things that we're saying? What is the difference in our definitions? I'm so upset at Eric Wilson for stealing this last night. Nobody told him to take half of my lecture and use it in his sermon. But it's the idea of unity versus uniformity. Okay? Those are tricky words, right? Let's look at this one. Unity is the state of forming a complete and pleasing whole, especially in an artistic context. Y'all ready for this? I'm just pushing some people's minds, and I'm not doing it purposefully, but I'm trying to get us somewhere so we can then have some fun. Psalms 133 says how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to live together in unity, right? Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue, right? It's talking about bringing to completion, this idea, this forming process that brings to completion something that is pleasant, something that is whole, something that is healthy inside of an artistic context. So basically, when we achieve unity, we are achieving God's idea of wholeness, of healthiness, of being complete inside of his artistic context. Yes, you are God's big art project. Yes, God put you here to see how you work together, to see how you can live and interact together. You are God's project. Of one of detail, one of majesty, one of intense creation, one of very specific specifications. You are God's art project. And inside this context of earth, inside this context of life that he puts us in, he says unity is really where you come to know who I am. But that's unity. We get that. But what's so different about uniformity? Uniformity is the quality or state of being uniformed. Okay? If everybody had on my same suit and with my collar shirt, my belt, don't you understand how good you would look right now? Don't you understand how great everything would be? Is if everybody just learned to be like Byron, you would be happier. I promise you that. You would be healthier. Whatever that means. But at the end of the day, the world would be this magnificent place known as Byron's world. How crazy does that sound? Y'all look at me like, Byron, there's no way I would do that. That's the difference. So it's an attempt to impose administrative and cultural uniformity. How does that work? We do that in several ways. Let me give you a loose example so nobody's upset at me. I tell my student workers, if they're going to work in my office, that you will never wear shorts in my office and work for me. So that doesn't, you don't work for me wearing shorts. You wear jeans, you wear slacks, you know, wear a polo. This is an office space. You're going to come in this office space. You're going to look a certain way. That's me as the administrator putting down specific structures and uniforms to create a specific culture, a specific norm that I appreciate and want in my office. Now, is that the rule? Is it written somewhere? Yes, it's written on Byron's heart, and therefore it is. And so everybody has to exist inside of that realm in Byron's world. Now, that's just a very small microcosm example. But on the large scale, we do that in several different ways. Sometimes even some of the concepts that we present on a daily basis promote uniformity versus actual unity. Okay? God created us with differences and said it was good. He created Adam. He created Eve. They were extremely different, but it was good. Right? Everybody here looks different. Has had a different set of circumstances, and God says that is good. Why? Because God understands, first of all, you are created in His image, and if He created you to look like Him, you have to be good as He is good. But this pushes the question, but is our unity a common one? So, for instance, I can look at my uncle Stephen Moore, my good uncle, and I can say, Uncle, we are unified. We think alike. We say some of the same things every now and again. And so we're unified. We're on the same page. But how common is our unity? So is this something that happens every now and again? Or is it something that happens consistently? Is it something that happens always? If he returned my calls more, we would be in unity more often than not. But we're talking about unity. Is it common? Does it occur, or is it found, or is it done often? Is it prevalent? So is our unity something that is prevalent? So is this state of being complete, of being whole, of being healthy, something that is prevalent? I know there are some places, some churches, some places that say, yes, it is. There are some institutions that say, yes, our unity is prevailing. It happens all the time. We all think the exact same thing. We all have the same ideas, and we are a healthy institution, and we are going the right direction. We are unified. Okay, that begs another question, but we'll get to that in a second. That begs the question of who's really saying this. So, as you guys are thinking, why are we focusing in this class on community? Byron, why are we focusing on community? First of all, clearly, it's in the margins booklet, so that's what we're going to focus on. Secondly, I think that community is something that was presented by God. And it was presented as a gift to God's people. To the people that inhabit this earth, the people that are part of God's art project. Acts 2:44-47, it talks about it's the day of Pentecost, and it talks about the people that believe they had all things in common. Right, it talks about how they sold their possessions and they took care of everybody's needs. Right, so nobody went without having something that they needed. It talks about how they were in one accord. It talks about how this idea of being true and real community translated from this level of belief and idealism to this thing of, hey, we will be unified because we're going to make sure that everybody's needs are even taken care of. I'm going to sell my stuff to make sure that my brother has and my sister has what they need. They were in one accord. And so this move from just us taking care of each other's needs to us actually being unified in different areas of our lives. It moved from just being, hey, we believe the same thing, rah, 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 to, hey, we are about the same thing. They had one accord in the temple. Can y'all imagine being unified in the church? If we could really look at each other and say, yes, there is one body, one faith, one baptism. It says they were in one accord in the temple. It's like they were in one accord, eating the bread house to house. So even as they went into each other's homes, they were in one accord. Right? It says, and they have favor with all people. So even in what we today call the community, what's in the world, the people that sit outside the church, in all those arenas, they had favor. They were in one accord there. So there wasn't any fighting and backbiting. They had favor there. People actually liked them outside the church walls, my Lord. And so we actually see an idea, this focus on community, that comes directly from God's word, but it's one that sits inside of this idea of taking care of people's needs, of really having things in common and developing a common unity, a unity that occurs all the time, that is prevalent, that we see constantly, but it's a unity. It's just this common idea that brings us to this place of wholeness, of being complete, of being unified, or not uniform, but unified, saying I can take some of these things that are uncommon that exist in my life with my brother or sister, and I can work to make those things common. So why are we focusing on community? Because let me tell you the truth, we suck at taking uncommon things and making them common in our society, in our context. Whether we're church leaders, whether we're community leaders in a small town, big town, whether we're leading institutions, whether we're leading business, we are terrible at taking uncommon things, so the things that don't come together readily, and making those things common. We're not good at that. So we need to have a renewed focus on community, but a focus that exists inside of an idea, a concept that persists from the Bible. So I want to do this, and I want to take some quick time just to look at this. How do we think and respond to people that are different than us? Right? How do we interact with those that don't think like we do, that don't share the same ideas that we do? How does that work itself out? So the first thing, this is actually a response chart that was actually made by one of my mentors, Dr. Jean-Noel Thompson. But he starts off by saying, this is our first reaction is to reject them. He says that is our first inkling is to reject people. It's influenced by strong prejudice based on race, ethnicity, gender, religion, personal habits, etc. It can be anything. So, but our first tendency to people that aren't like us is to reject them, is to have that, whoa, I don't know you like that. Please stay away from me. Our second method of dealing with people that are different is one of tolerance. This is one that's normally learned. You know, for instance, we're just merely putting up with one another for a short-term basis, but keeping social distance. You know, like, hey, I can wave on the street, but, you know, you stay on your side of the street. I'm going to stay on my side of the street. When we have to interact, we can do it. But other than that, you do you. I'm going to do me. Number three is this level of acceptance. So we learn how to live among and work with one another through mutual respect, yet may be unaware of more personal and cultural needs of other persons. So basically, we learn how to do the hi and bye acquaintance thing. You know, the, hey, you do your part in the group, I'll do my part in the group assignment, and then when we get back together, we make sure your part, you know, looks like my part, will be good to go. You know, you do your job, I'm going to do my job. You know, I don't need you in my business, and I'm not going to be in yours type mentality. You stay on your side of the tracks. When we have to work together, we'll get together, work together really well, and then we'll go back to our opposite sides of tracks and be fine. The next is appreciation and understanding. So a sincere interest and effort in getting to know and understand those who are significantly different, but not solely on your terms. This is what I call going to somebody else's house, but their house may not look as nice as your house, but you go to their house and you spend time there. This is where we start to move to that level where we get outside of our comfort zone, where it's not just the base, you know, hey, yeah, no, feel free, come over to my place, you know, we have a good time, we'll eat and da da this, and then you can go home. This is, hey, I'm going to go spend some time in your place where I'm uncomfortable. Where I don't fit in, where it's, you know, where I really have to learn about you and what makes you up, and you're gonna learn about a little bit more about me because I might be scared out of my mind, or I might be nervous, or I might not know how to exist in that arena. And the last one is love, unconditional love. So a genuine care and bond that comes through a relationship with God and the understanding of the Holy Spirit. This is, I think, what all the speakers inside this summit are talking about. It's that understanding where you actually see somebody else as God's beloved child. And when you can see somebody as God's beloved child, you can't help but to love them. When you see how much God loves them, you just automatically have to love them too, because you are God's beloved and you care about what God cares about. But that's not the easiest place to get to. A couple of terms that you saw inside the pamphlet that we're gonna get to and actually have some fun with here in a little bit are the terms minority. So getting to these terms is always interesting, because we want to say, man, but people are really different. Like if I'm talking to John Deere over here, he drives a tractor to work and you know he wears cowboy boots and he's super country. But if I'm talking to John Q over here, he may have had a different plot in life, but you know he's cool. He's a little bit you know more my speed. And if I'm talking to John Doe, we have nothing in common. I don't even understand him. I can't even get there. So we find that people fall into these different categories, these different subgroups inside of God's great creation, right? And so we put nice little slogans on them. We, you know, have minority, majority, different names for different subgroups. We have, you know, different socioeconomic tags that we put, you know, you're in the upper class or upper middle class or, you know, you're in the lower class. You know, we put different terms on it. Well, I want to reconstruct our brains just slightly on this, and this is the first word is minority. So a lot of times we think of minorities, we think of somebody that's less than 50%. So somebody that's not in the majority. I want to reshape our thinking, and I want to think about this as a group having little power or representation relative to other groups within a society. The best example I can give you of that is that 1% of our population controls a majority of our wealth. So that's a number way less than 50%. Right? But in terms of power, in terms of representation at the highest level, they are there at every step. And so it would be awfully hard to call them the minority, even though they're less than 50%, because they have majority of the power, the financial power, the social capital. And so in terms of minority, I want you to start thinking about people that are voiceless, people that don't have a voice, that don't have a say in the matter, people that don't have the representation at certain levels, people that don't necessarily have access. Another term that we toss around that you've heard this week is the idea of privilege. Okay, well, here's the definition for privilege. It's unearned, unasked for, often invisible benefits and advantages. Right, so basically it's what you woke up with this morning. So however you woke up, the privileges that came with that, the privileges that you were born with, that's privilege. All right? So this morning I woke up owing Sally Mae for my schooling. That is a privilege that I have, that I get to pay Sally Mae back, and one that I don't necessarily like, but I have it. Those are privileged. But I want to get into this a little bit more. And so I have a fun game, exercise that we're going to do to kind of tease out the ideas of privilege, the ideas of minority. My scholars, you've already done this, so act accordingly, or I will hurt your point average. That is the privilege I have. What you're gonna do? You're gonna get a card. Everybody's gonna get a card. Do not look at your card. Don't ever look at the face of your card. You'll see the faces of everybody else's cards. You'll just hold your card right here, and you will execute playing the game accordingly. But do not look at the face of your card. Secondly, everybody plays except for me. I get to do the timing and all this other fun stuff. So everybody plays except for me. Third rule, treat people as their card demands. So if you see a king, then what do you do to kings? You bow to a king. I will let you choose what aces and jokers are worth. So I will let you determine in your mind whether they need to be treated higher than a king or not. I'll let you choose. It depends on what type of poker you play and what type of blackjack you play. And if you're a winner or if you're a loser, I'll let you figure that out. Last but not least, follow my instructions. They are here to make your life better. They will create a better life for you if you follow my instructions as we're playing this game. All right, they're doing this little exercise. This is a fun exercise for me to watch. My scholars like it every now and again, but it's a fun exercise for me to watch. Okay, what we're going to do here a little bit after Nicole gets these handed out, we're going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to go about the room, and you're going to interact. You're going to interact with the people as they hold their cards to the head. You're going to interact with them. Whatever their card denotes, however you should greet them, however you should treat them, that's what you should do. However their card denotes, okay? Understand that this is not personal, all right? This is not personal, so don't take it personal. But people are going to treat you as your card demands. After 5 minutes, we're going to come together. We're going to do a little bit, a few other components of the exercise. And then we're going to move to see how privilege and minority representation influences and attacks our ideas of community and building a healthy community. All right, 5 minutes. Get up out of your seats and go. I'm gonna make some quick corrections, if you would, as the person that gets to run the game. Hey, guys, I want y'all to look amongst yourselves, and is there somebody here that doesn't necessarily belong? Like y'all would say, no, you didn't quite get it right. You really don't belong with us. Is there anybody that just doesn't fit the bill? Y'all are good? Everybody's good? Huh? Just anybody that doesn't belong? Okay. Everybody's good. Okay, awesome. Here's what you didn't know.
I'm fine.
Actually, y'all didn't know this, and we feel so bad about it, but all the Aces actually went bankrupt. Is there anybody that doesn't belong now?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't belong?
Yeah, you don't belong.
Are you pointing at me?
Yeah, so all of y'all that don't belong, that y'all point to, let's come over here. Let's just come over here, because this community over here probably fits you a little bit better. You'll probably feel more comfortable, and it'll be more your speed, you know? Right? Where's my true distinction? Where my low, middle, who thinks they're middle? Really make this, who thinks they're low? Go over that way. Okay, great. Gotta love my middle people. Middle people, is there somebody here? We just had three come in. Whoa. We almost didn't make it, y'all. Who just got sent over here? Y'all three did? Okay. Looking at y'all just got sent down. But there are probably some people in this section that in your mind you're like, hey, they probably don't belong here either. And we probably should probably send them somewhere as well. Probably send them down. Who doesn't belong? Who? Point at them.
Right there.
Each one of y'all gets to choose one.
Oh.
Right there.
Right there? Who you pointing to?
The Ace.
Okay, who else? Who else? Oh, he doesn't? Come here. Okay. Come here. All right. Who else doesn't? Who is the third? Who got to choose the third one?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't belong?
Wait.
It's like that sometimes. So y'all go ahead and come with me. So y'all are over here now.
Well, how'd I go from there?
Hey, it's a hard knock life. It's real. It's real. Okay? Everybody right here, how many people right here have some really, really strong aspirations? Like, who thinks that they can, like, you know, change the world? Anybody right here think they feel like they can change the world? What interactions made you feel like you'd change the world? Was somebody, like, really nice to you or anything? Did something happen that gave you some hope?
Someone, people say, like,
we bang
together, like, oh, you're like me.
Oh, okay. Somebody said, oh, you're like me. You're okay. You're helpful. Great. You know what? I think it's possible. You probably can change the world. Besides, you got a benefactor over there, and they came in and they thought the world of you, and they spoke kind things and spoke into your life, and so you're moving on up. So we'll trade. Yeah, and you can get to go over there. Right. Anybody else feel like they can change the world? Not really. Nobody treated you like you could change the world. Somebody treated you.
Gave me a high five.
Somebody gave you a high five. So they encouraged you. That's great. I bet you can, and I bet you can do whatever it says. So let's trade.
Look at it.
No, yeah. Don't look at it. Just here we go. Yeah, you get to go right over here, because you're making some moves. Okay. Anybody else feel like they can change the world? No? Y'all weren't treated like y'all could do anything positive? They kind of dogged y'all out a little bit?
One person shook my hand.
One person shook your hand. How'd that make you feel?
Okay.
Made you feel good. Here we go. I think you are pretty good and pretty cool. And so, there you go. You get to go right over there with them, because somebody was feeding into your life. Everybody else kind of got dogged out. That's tough.
I did.
You did. Here's the deal. Because I'm past time, and we'll pick this up tomorrow. But here's what I want you to understand, right? So this is what we do in our quote unquote communities. Right? We tease out who belongs and who doesn't belong based on socioeconomic standing, based on race, based on how well they play the game that we play. So don't always think that this is rich people. That's not always the case. Normally, this is the people that just have power and privilege in whatever context that they're in. That doesn't mean that they're rich. That just means they have power and privilege. They could be broke as everybody else, but because they have the deed to the church, they can tell who's in and who's out. Right? And these people right here, they said, man, nobody even made us feel like we belonged there. A couple people were like, man, I remember the high five, the one high five I got, because the rest of them were dirty looks. And the rest of it was mistreatment. So I remember the one high five, or the people that said, hey, you're like me. We belong together, because we should exist together. Here's the other piece of this idea that I want you to get. In terms of building community, man, if power and privilege, maybe they don't have the ability to actually build, quote unquote, the community, but they have the opportunity to protect and maintain community. Okay? They have the power to say, you know what? That's not right. That's not going to happen in here, because we are a place of justice. We are a place of peace, that we want to be holistically well. And that means that we need to have people that look different than us, people that speak differently than us, people that have a different set of life skills, that had a different set of life experiences than we have. They have the ability to do that because they do have the power. Privilege is not always bad. It's when privilege is misused that it then becomes bad. That's something to think about. Here, we're going to break this down a little bit more tomorrow, so please come back tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Hey, real quick, take your cards and go ahead and just rip them.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Just go ahead and rip them real quick. Just rip them in half. Okay? Hey, did everybody's car rip relatively easy?
Yeah.
That's really life. It doesn't take much to go from over here to over here based off of one rip.
Or one person.
Or one person that points you out. Anyways, hey, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Excellent, man.